Bhojanandana Bhajajanaranjana Bhojanandana Bhajajanaranjana Jamuna Tira Bhanachari Jamuna Tira Bhanachari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Shafat Puram Hangsa Parivrara Shutrata Sishamara Bhai Charnamina Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Ramacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shri Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Basari Gaur Bhaktavinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Gopinath Shyamakundarana Ki Kiri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Simthuru dham ki jai, Navadip Mayapa dham ki jai, Shri Jagannath Puri dham ki jai, Kanga Mahi Jamona Mahi ki jai, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Sangha Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Continuing reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, entitled The Deliverance of the Yamulajuna Trees. We're reading from text 30 to 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is text 32. Can you hear?
Hari bol, hari bol.
Brahmanais tvam agrahyo. Brahmanais tvam agrahyo. Vikare prakrite gunai. Vikare prakrite gunai. Kon vidharhati vignatung. Kon vidharhati vignatung. Praksidhim gunasamritaham. Praksitham guna samvrita Yamanaistvam agraho Vikare prakrite gunai Kon viharati vignantum Praksitham guna samvrita Yamanai swam agraho Vikare prakutar gunai Kon viharhati vignatum Praksidham Guna Samritta. Marriages. Gyamane, accepting the body made of material nature as existing at the present moment because of being visible. Tvam, you, agrahaya, not confined in a body made of material nature, vikara, agitated by the mind, prakrite gunai, by the material modes of nature, sattva guna, rajoguna, and tamoguna. Kaha, who is there? Nu, after that, eha, in this material world. Arhati, who deserves? Vignantum, to know. Praksidham, that which existed before the creation. Guna samvrittaha, because of being covered by material qualities. Translation, O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand you? Please repeat, O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand you? As it is said, Atha Sri Krishna Nama Dhinabhavet Krihamandraya Sevon Mukhehe Jivado Swayam Eva Spuryatyada Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 2, 2, 3, 4. Krishna's name, attributes and form are absolute truth, existing before the creation. Therefore, How can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? This is not possible. But Sevan Mukhi hi jivado swayameva spihatataha. Krishna reveals himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:15 by the Lord himself, Bhaktiyamam Abhijanati. Even the descriptions of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know him is to engage oneself in pure devotional activities. The more one advances in devotional activities, the more he can understand him as he is. If from the material platform one could understand Krishna, then since Krishna is everything, sarvam kalvidam brahma, one could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world. But that is not possible. Mayatadamidam sarvam jagatabhaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham tesvastitaha. Everything is resting on Krishna, and everything is Krishna, but this is not to be realized by persons on the material platform. End of purport. Omai gyanam dhanandasya gyanam gyananshalakaya chakshurulamitam tasmasi gurave namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Paschachyate Satharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 31 and 31. Swami Kesava Bhutanam Dehash at Vatmarin Dureshwara Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnu Avyaya Ishvara Tvamahan Prakriti Shukshma Raja Sattva Tamomai Tvameva Purusho Dhyaksha Sava Shetra Vikaravit. Translation: You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything, the body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self. You are the Supreme Person, Vishnu, the imperishable controller. You are the time factor, the immediate cause, and you are material nature, consisting of the three modes, passion, goodness, and ignorance. You are the original cause of this material manifestation. You are the super soul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the hearts of every living entity. Purport. Sripad Madhavacharya as quoted from the Vamana Purana as follows: Bhuvrupyatvatu jagat rupam Vishnu shakshat sukhat matkam nityapurnam samusitstam sarupam paramatmanah. No translation. Then text 32, O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who trapped in a body made of material qualities in this material world can understand you. These are spoken by two demigods, Nalukuvera and Manigriva, sons of Kuvera, heavenly treasurer. They were supposedly cursed by Narada Muni to stand as trees. But the blessing was those trees would be in the courtyard of Nanda in Vrindavan. So they were able to see the early pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna has seen those two trees and he understands who they are and what he has to do to fill his pure devotee's desire. Narada Muni promised, told the devas they were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face. So still, baby Krishna, he's Damodar, he's still tied up to the mortar, grinding mortar. And he heads toward the trees. And the mortar gets wedged between the trees. Krishna pulls very hard and the trees crash down. And out of those trees came two shining personalities whose effulgence lit the whole place. This is and they're beginning to offer prayers to the Lord. So they're explaining how actually Krishna is everything. Krishna is everything. He's the Lord of all beings, master of creation, maintenance, destruction. And how is it possible for someone to know who actually he is? Who can understand him fully? Nobody can understand the Lord fully. Even the Lord himself admits that his qualities, energies are constantly expanding. So how can you understand something that is constantly expanding? Because as soon as you understand it, it's expanding into more. Just like knowledge is unlimited, the Vedas. You can read them and supposedly understand them, then you can read them again and you get a completely different picture. You can read them again. So it's like that, because knowledge is unlimited, because knowledge of Krishna is unlimited, because Krishna is unlimited. So how can you come to the end? There's no end of knowledge. Simply, there's no end of Krishna. He's very bewildering to the philosophers who try to understand him by various means. So here it said it's actually not possible to understand. We are, the creation was already here, and then we came along. And who are we? We are expansions of Krishna. The Lord is one, he becomes many for pleasure. To increase his pleasure, he expands himself into many. So we're a part of Krishna. The soul is actually a part of Krishna. Fragmented part, eternal, somehow or other. But we can't understand eternality, so we say God is one, then he becomes many. Right? He becomes many eternally. So we can't understand eternality. So Krishna is eternal. His body is eternal. His name is eternal. His qualities are eternal. So, and how is it possible to understand eternality? There's nothing to gauge eternality by. We live in our three-dimensional world. We need references. We need to, because we can't conceive of eternality. We can't conceive. We need a starting point, a reference point. So therefore we say in the beginning the Lord was one. And then he expanded himself. This is for our understanding. because it's not possible to understand how one becomes two, and then more and more and more as Krishna steps to one side, and Krishna's still there. But the one who stepped outside, he stepped out of his body, but his body is still there. So that new body, that's Balaram. How we can understand? Then Balaram steps out to himself and expands himself as the Chaturvyuha. They again expand as another Chaturvyuha. Then Vasudeva expands, then there's a Vishnu, different Vishnus, right? Vishnu expands, Mahavishnu expands as Shankarshan, the serpent. Serpent lays down and he lays on it, his own body. He just expands himself and he lays, and that becomes his bed. So he says, so Krishna's, everything is, there's nothing but Krishna. Then for the material creation, then again it acts as Mahavishnu's glance. Krishna's enjoying a romantic affair with Lakshmi, and he's sending loving glances. That glance, because the Lord desires creation, and his, Krishna's desire is actual fact. Whatever he desires will happen. He doesn't need to endeavor. Not like us, that place is Vaikuntha, without any obstacle. Whatever one desires, it happens. Here there's a lot, we have to deal with time, space, which are very troublesome, apart from so many other things. Old age, disease, death, birth, hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, etc., etc., etc. So we're making a plan, but it's always difficult. It's a struggle, hard struggle, against the stringent laws of material nature, to conquer over these stringent laws. We don't like this pressure. We want to do we want to achieve things. We want to get achieve freedom from problems. We want to achieve happiness. But it's so difficult. If one analyzes. But that's the whole thing is it's Krishna's program. When that glance, Krishna's a material creation. Vishnu doesn't touch the material creation. So therefore, that glance is carried by Romadeva. It transforms into Shambhu. And Lakshmi Devi transforms into Durga. So then Shambhu and Durga unite. So that's the start of the material creation. The Lord doesn't touch the material creation. Although when there is a material creation, he enters into it. But he doesn't touch it. In other words, it doesn't affect him like it affects everyone else. So all these elements are gradually, necessary for creation and life, they're practically simultaneously produced. Like when you roll a carpet out, you can see all the intricate designs. It's like that. There may be a first, second, and third, but practically it's simultaneous. So these demigods, they've understood. They're demigods. They know Vishnu. They see him. He comes there they go there sometimes, or rarely. But before, they used to see him more often. And he will come. So they know who he is. He's to control everything. So he's his creation, the body, the life, ego, senses of every living entity. It's actually Krishna. His desire. He's desiring like that. So what is this? What are we made of? The self, we're in the body. We're a part of Krishna's superior internal energy. Then this whole body, what is it made of? There, Krishna says earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, ether. This is what the body is comprised of. And Krishna says, they're my energies. They're my separated energies also. My material, inferior energies. So, it's Krishna. It's Krishna's energies. And everything is made of these components. Even the non-living entities, they're made of the same components, except for the mind, intelligence, and the ahankara. Here, in the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna says, "Maya tatam idam sarvam," that I am in my unmanifest form, avyakta. I am pervading this whole universe. There is nothing but me. Right? The Bhagavad Gita says, "I am in everything, and everything is in within me." Then again, I'm aloof from it. Very mysterious how to understand that. But Krishna's in everything. He enters as a super soul. He's in with everything, every atom. And he's expanded as the space. That's also Krishna. Everything is contained in space. So that's also Krishna's energy. You can't get away from it. The air, the sky is situated in space. Or everything else is situated in the sky. So like that, it's all pervading. The sky, the space, or the sunshine is all pervading. Everything is situated in the sunshine during the daytime. So like that, Krishna's unmanifest form is everywhere. And it's containing everything. So everything is it within Krishna. Not only that, Krishna, as we will read, he shows that it's all of that whole universe is also contained within his personal body. Right? The same we just read the Leela, that the Krishna opened his mouth so the mother Yasoda could check to see if he's eaten mud. And what did she see? The whole universe. She saw these things. She saw time. She saw the actions of karma. She saw the rivers, mountains, hills, everything. All in Krishna's mouth. And she saw herself in his mouth. And saw him in his mouth. So how was that? So she was bewildered. Of course, she's a simple village lady. These are demigods, they're bewildered. Everyone is bewildered when seeing Krishna. So they're offering these wonderful prayers, explaining the Lord's superiority. So in the material world, the human beings have a problem of trying to understand what is the meaning of life, what is the purpose of this creation. And there's many theories, there's many answers, but Krishna's given a definitive answer of these questions. But there are many other people also giving answers, and it's people in general are bewildered, especially in Kali Yuga. Everyone is very bewildered. So to resolve the issues, then Krishna personally comes. In different forms. But he doesn't actually touch the material world. Although he's here, he's in his own space, he's surrounded by his own energy, but common people can't see that. They can only see, they may see Krishna face to face, but they can't see who he is, or they can't understand who he is, even they see him face to face. Because it's mentioned here, no one can understand him, but it's not possible to know from the material energy, because we're a creation of this material energy. We've been placed into this conditional tabernacle, this particular body that we're in. How can we understand the creator of it? So here is given this by performing devotional service, we're quoting the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it's impossible to know, but by performing devotional activities for Krishna, that means one has faith in Krishna, that he is the Lord, then by his mercy, then he reveals. Otherwise, not possible to know. Even if you see him face to face, you won't understand. So demigods, they understood, because Krishna wants everyone to understand. This Bhagavatam is for the human beings, the Aryans, the civilized human beings, to give a clear description of Krishna's position and a living entity's position and the means by which they can reconnect with him in devotional service. Because we have a purpose. There's a meaning to our... There's a meaning that we exist, you see. And that meaning is to increase Krishna's pleasure. Although he's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. But still, he wants to expand his pleasure. He's a person. He has his own mind. So he's come to remind us that here in the material world, we're in the wrong place. We should go back to the spiritual world. There we can enjoy properly in service to Krishna. But if one takes to that service now, while in the material world, one can achieve a similar effect, even while one is within this material body. By Krishna's grace. Otherwise, it's not possible to understand. It's very confusing. So then, Krishna comes to let us know the process. So then, he's engaging these very powerful people, very authoritative people, to explain about who he actually is. That he is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Because they know, they're from the heavenly planets, they know these things, they're very pious people there. The Bhagavatam is said to have a million shlokas in the heavenly planets, so they know far more than we do. So they're explaining his unlimited glories and qualities. And in these prayers, they're delineating the actual position of the Lord in his Aishwarya, in his full opulences. And they offer many prayers, just like also in Indra, he's the chief of the demigods, king of heaven, in the Govardhan Leela. Then Indra comes and offers prayers afterwards when he realizes he's made a mistake. And he offers many wonderful prayers also. About explaining Krishna's actual position, just like here. And then Krishna will finish off with three slokas. Here he'll say to the demigods, I know these things. Narada Muni, by my devotee's mercy, Narada Muni, he wanted to save you from the pride and everything. And he's done that. He's such a great soul. Now you should go back. You can have your benediction that you can always remember me. Little 5 minutes, a few minutes, he sends them back after they've explained all about his qualities. So Indra, same thing. You were proud of being the king of heaven, and I don't like that. You know, you have an important position. So to relieve you of that pride, I did this leela of lifting Gova downhill. Go back. Then Brahma, who is the head of all the demigods, the most highest position in the material universe, same thing. Krishna's Brahma Vimohan leela, which is explained here in Bhagavatam also. he tries to trick Krishna. Krishna bewilders him. Brahma's trying to figure out how he's done it, how he's transplanted all those calves and boys. Is he creating another set? Is he bewildering my mind? What's going on? He couldn't understand. He's offering many wonderful prayers, glorifying the Lord's opulences and prayers again and again. This time Krishna doesn't even speak to Brahma. He talks to these demigods for a little bit and glorifies his devotee and blesses them. But with an Indra, he just, you know, told him, "I just, you know, wanted to take away your pride now." But here, but with Lord Brahma, he didn't say anything. And Brahma was talking and talking and talking and talking, and he's getting more and more embarrassed. As Krishna was a little disinterested, because he was a little boy with a stick and a flute in his belt and some chipped rice and yogurt in his left hand. And he's looking at Brahma like, you know, what's this big man with the four heads bowing down to me for? And what is he talking about? Why is he saying all these things about me? I'm just a little cowherd boy in the forest. So Krishna didn't want to disturb his pastime or his mood with that loving mood that he was experiencing in Vrindavan. He didn't want that disturbed by this someone explaining his actual Aishwarya position as a supreme god, the supreme lord, because Krishna's not the supreme lord. He's not the supreme controller, enjoyer. I mean, he's enjoyer, but he's not the creator, the maintainer. That's Vishnu. That's not Krishna. Krishna's not God. When he wants to be God, then he comes out as Vishnu. So Krishna's just waiting for him to finish his prayers, because it's no fun for Krishna. I mean, not as much fun as he's having with his friends. So then Brahma can appreciate that that Krishna's, who is this person? He knows he's the Supreme Lord, but he's not letting on. Krishna's not, you know, giving him a wink and saying, "Now you've learned your lesson," kind of thing. He's just looking a little curious at why is this person behaving like this, and, you know, it's nothing to do with us. We're in the forest having a good time. So Brahma's becoming more and more embarrassed. And he thinks, I better not talk so much. I better get out. So he exits. He circumambulates Krishna and exits. And Krishna didn't say anything. But what's left is these explanations that they're giving for our benefit, that explaining Krishna's actual position. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's everything. There's nothing but Krishna. But we can't appreciate that. Prabhupada says if you could understand him materially, then you could look at anything, because everything is Krishna, and then you could understand it's Krishna, but we can't. Right? If everything is Krishna, then whatever's in front of you, you can see Krishna. But you can't do it. It's a transformation of Krishna. Krishna's energy, but it's Krishna nonetheless, but we can't see it. Why? Because Krishna's not revealing it to us. Otherwise, you could. If he wants to show you, then you can know. Only when the Lord wants you to know, then you can actually know. You can appreciate these things. So that is what we're getting from these series of incidents where these great personalities are telling us the glories of Krishna. But Krishna's not saying anything himself, because these glories are in comparison with his pastimes in Vrindavan, they're very insignificant. Krishna would much rather be playing with his friends hearing these eloquent verses of Lord Brahma. And the same with the Manukavera, two sons of two demigods here, who were the Yamala Arjun trees. Manukavera and Manigriva. Manigriva and Manukavera. So they were it says later on that the Krishna is smiling. They're offering these prayers. He's not saying anything, but then he's smiling. They think he's laughing at them. But he's smiling because Krishna thinks, you know, they're glorifying me as the omnipotent Lord, the most powerful entity, and the one who gives liberation, the one who can free one from the bonds of material nature. But Krishna says, but look at me, I'm tied up by Mother Yasoda, a village woman. But Krishna thought that was very amusing, that they're glorifying him as the supreme liberator, and he himself is tied up to the wooden mortar. But Krishna admits, I much prefer the chastisement of my mother than all of these eloquent prayers offered by these different demigods. It is much more pleasing to me. So that's why he says, I stay here in Golok. Otherwise, it's more fun here. So Krishna's enjoying that, and his internal energy, these super pastimes that are exhibited in Vrindavan, which is also very, very esoteric and very, very rarely heard. We hear a lot about the Lord and his Aishwarya, how he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, everything. We don't hear about God when he's at home doing what he wants to do. You don't hear much about that. So that's Krishna in Vrindavan when he doesn't have any work to do. I mean, apart from his duty of looking after the calves, because his father's owns a lot of cows. So that's apart from that work. But that's not really work, because all of his friends are with him. They're bringing their cows also. And they're all together, and they're all the similar age, and they're having a very good time. So it's not really work for them. They're just keeping the calves out of danger, taking them to water, taking them to the nice places where they can. But along the way, it's all fun. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song. They're just having a good time all the way. So that's Krishna. He doesn't have any work to do. So God, when he doesn't have to be God, what does he do? So that's Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is considered the face of the smiling face of the Lord Krishna. So we can see how we get in these two comparisons of the Aishwarya, the almighty power is being explained, and the simple sweetness, innocence of the Lord in his playground in Vrindavan. So, therefore, Krishna arranges all of these different pastimes that he can come to this material world, continue his normal life with the cows and his boyfriends and girlfriends and his parents, and at the same time give everyone on the material world a view, let them actually see what he's doing. These are actually historical events that are taking place. And then by the grace of the devotees, one can understand Krishna's actual position as the Supreme God. But that's secondary for the pure devotees. So then Krishna, by hearing these narrations, Krishna has given us an opportunity to also to return to that, to his own place, his own garden, Vrindavan. Otherwise, there's many other spiritual places we could go to and live eternally. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is very esoteric, and it's pointing out the actual topmost place within the spiritual world, the topmost dealings, the topmost love you'll find in this very place called Vrindavan, where the activities and the dealings are very, very sweet. So we're given an insight into this Golok Vrindavan by Krishna's transporting those very pastimes, the very same people also he's bringing here and acting out the similar pastimes in the material world for our benefit. There's an extraordinary good fortune for us. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Daigo Premanandi Hari Hari Gopal. Srila Prabhupada Krishna ki jai. Anukuvera Mani Griva ki jai. Comment, question? What do they mean? What do they mean when they say you are the body, the life, ego, the senses of every living entity are your own self? Or what are they? what they're made of? The body is earth, water, fire, air. Then the senses and the mind. The ego, the identity, they're Krishna's material energies. Right? Krishna is one energy, but it acts in various ways according to his desire, will act. So the way we see it acting here is called material energy. But it's his body, because it's his earth, water, fire and air. That's what the body is made of, so it's him. It's his energy. So it's him, indirectly, or even directly you could say. It's the expansion of his energy, expansion of himself, and those energies combine to make a particular body, but that's him. Then you're also an expansion of his internal energy within that body. But he's given you independence. Some independence. And he's given you an identity, an individual identity. Ego. It's his ego. The ego is coming from him. It's covered with you. It's covered you. But it gives you that, it gives you, you're endowed with a certain freedom by which you can express yourself through Krishna. Through his earth, through his water, through his fire, through his air, through his body, which he has given, through his mind, which he has given, through his intelligence. So, there's nothing but Krishna. So, just see how self-sufficient Krishna is. He created millions of living people, millions of types of varieties of species that the living entity is also him, but covered, is given a separate identity, and he's allowed to express himself in various ways, according to the region that he's lived in, and according to his karma, in other words, according to the qualities of the modes of nature, then he can exhibit more freedom or less freedom. But that ability is also coming from Krishna. So there's nothing but Krishna. See, there's no such thing as separation from Krishna. The separation from Krishna is Maya. That is, as soon as you remember Krishna, then that's Maya's gone. So Maya is just coming from it's Krishna's Maya, but it's when we forget him, then we're illusioned into something else. We're thinking something we're not. We're thinking we're separate from Krishna. And in that separate condition, then, so what do? We want to be happy, right? We want to enjoy, and we want to be comfortable. Because in the material world, we're not happy, we're not comfortable. That's, Krishna's made it like that. Yeah. Dukkalaya, sasitam, material world is temporary, and it's full of problems. Haribol, here, you're there, this is what it is, Krishna's saying. This is a situation here. So you can't change that. It's a temporary and it's full of problems. But when we forget that, when we forget Krishna and Krishna's instructions, we say, we've forgotten it's a temporary place full of misery. Then we think, oh, well, we can adjust it and it can be nice. So this is a dream. It's a dream. That's why it's Maya. It's not. You can't do it. Swarga is there, it's a nice place, relatively speaking. But this place, this world is not. Birth, death, old age, disease, hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, heat, cold, pleasure, pain, all these things are there. How can you be satisfied in such a place? And it's always changing, according to the modes. How you can be peaceful and satisfied, peaceful and happy in a place that is constantly fluxing and changing? The soul is consistent in our position. But here it's not comfortable. So Krishna's told us what the situation is. But as soon as we forget that, then we try to take his position as the enjoyer, the controller and the enjoyer. Because he is the controller. But when we forget that, then hey, let me be the controller and enjoyer. Why not? That's what we want. We need to control because it's a terrible place. So we're forced to control. And you want to enjoy because your nature is to enjoy. Ananda. You can't stop that search for enjoyment. That is our very nature. Pleasure seeking. You can't stop that. But if we get the proper association here, where real enjoyment is, then we can. You can't stop looking for enjoyment. You can't stop looking for security. That's a natural instinct there, because there's no security and no enjoyment in the material world, not for very long. So you can't stop this drive. Now, it depends where you're going to look for it. Are you going to look for it in the material world, or are you going to look for it in the spiritual world? So Krishna's coming to show the difference. And and these great personalities are pointing out his personality, how great Krishna is. He is the Supreme Personality of God. He is the Supreme Lord. So he's the Supreme Shelter, and he's the Supreme Pleasure Giver also. So all your desires will culminate when you go back to the Lord and serve him in the way he wants us to serve him. But if you perform this service nowadays in this world, then by Krishna's grace, then he will reveal these things to us. He'll take away that forgetfulness. He'll give us remembrance. That's also his prerogative. So everything is, there's nothing but Krishna. Mayata dhamidam sarvam, Krishna says, there's nothing but me. I'm everywhere. I'm inside and I'm outside of everything. How can you understand that? But it's a fact. He shows it. What's the difference between trying to enjoy and control in the material world and in the spiritual world? Yes, controlling. Mm-hmm. the controlling tendency is the material world. What will happen to it in the spiritual world? It will evaporate. Huh? In the spiritual world, there's nothing to control. There's no problems. Vaikuntha. There's no difficulties there. Here there's difficulties. Especially time and space. And time and space are filled with old age, disease, death, distress, you know, sickness, coronaviruses, all kinds of things. So that's what you got to deal with. To get your objective, your happiness, you've got to pass through all these things, time and space, which are full of these problems that we don't want. So you have to eat, otherwise you suffer. You have to sleep, otherwise you suffer. You have to go cleanse your body, otherwise you suffer, you get sick. You're forced to do these things. Yeah? So this is so therefore you have to eat. It means you have to control. You're defending yourself from the pain you know will come if you don't eat. You have to sleep, otherwise you go crazy. You know that, so you sleep. You have to have all your defense mechanisms there, your mosquito nets and your fan, air conditioner. And to do that, you have to work all day. So this be being whipped like that. But because you're born in that situation, you think this is normal. You don't question it. So you can't stop that desire to control these things, because suffering is unnatural for the soul. The soul can't suffer from materially, that is. Can't be cut, can't be dried, can't be wet, drowned. The soul is immutable, eternal. Krishna's described the nature of the soul. But we're identifying with the body instead of the soul. That's the problem. But in the spiritual world, there's no need of defense. There is no pressure there. There is no kunta. There is no time and space have a different. There is time and space there, but they're not a hindrance. They're not an obstacle. And also the enjoying. It's not that you're looking for enjoyment in the spiritual world. Also. Here we're looking for enjoyment. But at least in Goloka Vrindavan, they're not looking for enjoyment. That's not the qualification to get to Goloka. You go to another place, Vaikuntha. But to go to Goloka, Krishna's enjoyment is priority. When Krishna's enjoyment is more important than my enjoyment, that's the qualification for going there. Otherwise, if I want to enjoy, I can get the same form as the Lord, live on the same planet as the Lord, enjoy the same obligations as the Lord, right? Different types of those liberation, spiritual liberation, where I can live happily ever after. But in Goloka, it's all about Krishna's happiness. It's not about my happiness and my defense. So because you have that, when you're serving Krishna, that relationship with love, then that's it. There's no Krishna's a reservoir of pleasure, unlimited pleasure, ananda buddhi vardhanam, ever increasing pleasure. So you're not looking for happiness. There's no need. You've got enough. It's already there. And you're not looking. You're not trying to control or defend anything, because there's no problems there. Only when Krishna goes away. But it's not there that. We're referring to the material world when we say you cannot stop that tendency to control and enjoy. That means applies in the material world, not in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna Jamuna Priya Devi Dasi. Every day we're hearing Shastra and following, chanting Hare Krishna, but still the material desires are coming. Not making any progress. Yeah, Devi Ashigunamai Mamamai Durata Krishna says, very difficult. Very difficult to overcome. Difficult. But by my grace, Krishna says, you can. In other words, it's impossible. Just like it's here it mentioned, it's impossible to know Krishna from our position. But by performing devotional service, when Krishna is pleased to reveal himself, then you can know him. So, when we should be a little introspective and think that when we should be expecting the mercy from Krishna, of course, but the thing is, why are we saying why isn't Krishna showing me mercy? Why isn't things getting better? It means I'm going to Krishna for my relief. I'm going to Krishna for my pleasure. So, therefore our service is not pure, not unalloyed. We have faith that Krishna will take away all my problems and Krishna will give me great happiness. So that sense of I-ness is still prominent there. It's not about Krishna's pleasure, it's about my pleasure. But we're considered pious. Krishna says four kinds of pious people come to me, but they're not pure devotees. So we may be considered in that level, but one should be a little introspective in these times and ask, what am I expecting from Krishna? What should we be expecting from Krishna? You can ask that question yourself. Or what do I want from Krishna? Then you can understand what level of devotion we're on. Whether we're karma, kanda, jnana, kanda. We want to enjoy, or we want to freedom. But no problems, or we want to enjoy. But we should be acting just for the pleasure of Krishna. So we have to play our part and try and change our consciousness. We're going through the motions of devotional service. We're chanting the beads. We're putting the tilak. We're doing this and that. But what is our actual motivation for doing it? Is it to serve Krishna, or do we want Krishna to serve us? So it's a gradual process. But Krishna, we're going to reciprocate. Depends on how sincere you are. Because if you want a problem-free life, you may get it. If you want a lot of happiness, you may get it, but you may not get Krishna. And then you can come back and take birth in a nice family, or go to the Swargaloka. There's no problems and there's lots of happiness. But you can't stay there. Then you come back and it's risky again. So pure devotional service is very rarely achieved. So we're waiting on the mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas and Krishna. We're expecting their mercy. Meanwhile, we just have to dutifully perform our duties and try to cultivate that consciousness that, you know, everything's really, the purpose of my existence is Krishna's pleasure. Then I'll be natural. That's real life. That's natural life. That's complete satisfaction when we have some realization of that. Hare Krishna. No, he never takes away the free will. No free will, no love. No, that's yours. That you can say is yours. Everything else is Krishna's. But the free will, you can say that's yours. He's given that. If there's no free will, then it's forced. So how can you? No, Krishna wants to express to express your emotional feelings to him. It's got to come from you. It's got to come from your heart. You can't, it's not going to come from a book or something else. So that has to, that is a spontaneous thing that's come from you. That's free will always be there. Okay, next question. What Krishna says? Oh, Krishna told the demigods. Yeah. It doesn't actually say in the Bhagavatam, but the no, the acharyas are commenting that Krishna said they did have a desire to, because they had seen Krishna's Gokul pastimes. Or a pastime. And they loved Krishna. They fell in love with him to a certain degree. And they were praying, I believe, at the end that they... Yes. So he says that Nalakuvara Manugiva, now you may both return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled. And you will never fall from that platform. So that's their desire Krishna's going to fulfill. That means eventually they're going to go back to Godhead after that time. In Krishna book, Prabhupada says like that. They go back there, they perform devotional service in the heavenly realm where they belong, and then they go back to Godhead. Prabhupada, in Krishna book, Prabhupada says they go back. Here it doesn't say that, but if he says, Krishna says they're never going to fall down, then they're going to be pure devotional, pure devotees, that means they're going to go back to Godhead. Lucky. Narada Muni ki jai. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but they actually, according to Vishwanath, they actually love Krishna. According to Tamacharya, that they wanted Krishna to. They asked him for a benediction. He asked them, they want a benediction. They was going to ask him that you come and appear, you come on our planet also. But they didn't, they thought that was too presumptuous. Because it was, you know, Gopa Krishna, wouldn't be very at home on the heavenly planets kind of thing, I mean, as a child. So they worshipped him as a Gopal, and the Tara also saying that, and bless us, we can develop devotion for your devotees, your bijbasis. And Krishna said, oh, that's very rare. That's, you're asking for something there, that's very rare. But so they had that desire to serve Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, because they'd been there for years watching the how the devotees behaving towards Krishna and everything. So they had actually love for Krishna, Gopal Krishna. So it's presumed that they went, Prabhupada said they went in the Krishna book, Prabhupada said they go back. Lucky. Yeah, Narada Muni ki. From the heavenly planets, yeah, then they go back to, yeah. No, who said? No, that's in the usual way, but that's for above the heavenly planets, above Swarga. Then you get to Mahaloka, then Gyanaloka, Tapaloka. They gradually move back, long time. They all go back. They did. They did. These two did. Nalukavera and Mani Griva, they came here. And they got first-hand association with Krishna's pure devotees and Krishna. It's an exceptional case by Narada Muni. Yeah, go back and finish your life there. They were cursed to stay here for 100 years or so. So then they go back, they're demigods, and then they go back and wait there in performing devotional service, and then they get back to Godhead. Normally they don't, but even Gop Kumar had to come back from the spiritual world, from Dwarka in the spiritual world. He had to come back because he wanted his relationship with Krishna, Gopal Krishna. And Narada Muni and Uddhava, they said, you want something that we don't have. We can't give that. Because they worship him in his Aishwarya form more. So he had to come back from there. Even from the spiritual realm, he had to come back to the earth, because Braj Bhakti is only performed on earth. So normally, from the heavenly planets, they're just using up their good karma. Then they'll come back, take birth on earth again. But the higher planets, they're transcendentalists. They're not into sense enjoyment. Although the places are fabulous, from Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka to Satyaloka, then they gradually move on like that. And then they'll go back with Lord Brahma. It's like the mechanical way they do it. But the heavenly planets, they're not interested in. They're not transcendental. They're interested. They're there because they want to enjoy nicely. So they get in that facility. I'm talking about the general denizens, maybe not the controllers, but the people that get to the heavenly planets, because that's what they wanted. They wanted enjoyment. They perform pious activities. So after they exhausted their stock of pious activities, they came back to the earth again and take birth as human beings. So, but generally, otherwise you don't hear of the demigods going back to Godhead. Rare. But this is a rare case. They actually came to Braj Bhumi and saw these pastimes. So, special case. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.